Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. I got a special guest in the studio today. His name is Jake New. Jake, welcome to our show.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, no problem. You've been on the list for a little while, and I finally ran into you a couple of weeks ago, and I said, hey, you want to come and do my show? And luckily, you said yes. I know it's a little hard to, you know, get you in here with work and everything, so I appreciate you joining us today.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
So let's dive right in. So want to always get the show started by talking a little bit about your job, and we'll get into athletics and sports for you a little bit, but want to definitely let everybody know what you're doing right now.
Yeah. So currently I am a data engineer. I work for a company called Concentrix. So they were actually our company service source out of Nashville, was just purchased by them. And mainly we do B2B subscription renewals. So that entails us taking on, we have some major clients like Google and Microsoft and things like that. And
ooh, love Google.
My job is to ensure that their data integrates with our system, right? So everybody uses different CRM platforms. When we get that data, we need to ensure that everything is in one format so that we can use it for our company.
Wow. So you went to Tennessee Tech and graduated. And what was your...
I graduated in marketing.
In marketing.
And have not used it a day in my life. So.
But you got the degree. That's
correct.
That's the thing that matters. Well, I mean, that's interesting. And it's funny, you know, I know you guys lived in Nashville, and we'll talk about who you guys is in a second. But I know you guys lived in Nashville, and apparently that's a job that you can work from here, or do you drive to Nashville?
Nope. So I'm full-time remote, 100%. Even before COVID, I was working from home probably 2 to 3 days a week. But our Nashville office had about 800 people total, mostly call center reps, who needed to be in the office. But when COVID happened, they forced everybody to work remote, and they've continued that model since kind of the world has opened back up.
Well, this is definitely not a business show, but I'm intrigued, right? You know, because I'm on the kind of the Google side for the school system, mm-hmm. and kind of help out with that a little bit. It intrigues me with all the stuff that's going on. I've worked a little bit, you know, in the summer with some businesses up in Nashville, and got to kind of see that side of it a little bit, mm-hmm. which is very interesting to me because it's something I've never really dealt with. But the thing that I've noticed in doing a little bit of that work is the job place has not returned to the same job place it was before COVID.
Yeah, I'd completely agree. I think just me being in engineering and knowing how to code and things like that, there's a multitude of opportunities for us out there. But as far as your sales reps and things like that, I think that it has cut down quite a bit.
Yeah, and I think what some folks have realized is cost savings. Like, you know, previous of COVID, companies were sending their employees, especially sales reps, across the nation to do their thing. And then with, you know, COVID, they've realized they don't necessarily have to do it that way all the time. Even if it's cutting down half of the flights for a certain salesman in a year, you saved a pretty big amount of money.
Right. Absolutely. And I know there's quite a few people that had a budget that they had to spend or they wouldn't get it back the next year. So I think COVID kind of shed a light on some of that stuff to where it's like, we really don't need to be spending this money. And so I think they're starting to use it more wisely.
Wow. That's so many changes have come from, you know, just in the last 3 years because of that. And in a lot of ways, we still not returned to normal. Like, you can go buy a car lot right now and you can look at the lack of cars and a lot of that sales has transitioned to online sales. And like I was talking to, I'll give no name, but the owner of a car lot the other day, and you know, they're still selling cars. They're still selling a lot of cars, but you're kind of buying what you want online with the understanding of, you know, what you're getting into and then putting down a down payment to hold that car.
Yeah.
So if you decide to change your mind, then you just forfeited, you know,
yeah.
that deposit.
And then when it comes in is when it comes in, right?
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
There's no timetable. It's kind of like, well, it could be 6 months. It could be a year. Just don't know.
Yeah. And that's got to be acceptable because it's, if you want a new car, that's the only way you're going to get it.
Absolutely.
It's funny. That's crazy how things have, mm-hmm. have definitely changed. So let's talk about the family a little
sure.
bit. Of course, a lot of folks out there will know your wife.
Just, yep.
I guess
yeah.
start there. And
so I got a famous wife. She's from the area here. Amy New. She is president and CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. Mostly I'm referred to as Amy's husband, which is fine. I love it. I've got two daughters. So Lily Kate, her birthday is tomorrow. She will be 11. And then Sadie, who is just turned 2 on August 5th. So we've actually got 3 family birthdays on August 5th. So Amy's mom, Sadie, and then
Lily Kate,
her cousin.
Happy birthday. I kind of wish this was playing tomorrow. It might be a little bit later, but at least we can say happy birthday.
Absolutely.
Maybe belated, but happy birthday, Lily Kate. Young family. You know, Amy, you guys spent some time in Nashville, and you've worked for this company for a little while. And then Amy had some different employment up there and really saw the opportunity to come back to Putnam County, her home in Cookeville, Tennessee. How did it all transpire for you guys as a family?
Yeah, so that was the ultimate goal, was to try to make it back to Cookeville. The only problem with that was trying to keep up the salaries that we had living in Nashville, right? So she was contacted by a community member here about the opening for the chamber position while we were on vacation, actually. And at that time, you know, COVID had just started. Like, we were in Orlando, got there on a Thursday, and everything was shut down by Sunday. So that's like the very beginning of COVID. And so we were like, yeah, let's try it, you know. And you know, my company was like, we are remote fully, which I had already had approval to leave after, when she heard about this job. I talked to my manager and was like, look, if she gets a job and we move an hour away, like, is it okay if I work remote full time? And he was completely fine with it. You know, as long as we have an internet connection, we're good. So, so we just said, go for it. And it worked out, and we're back in Cookeville now. So,
yeah, I know a lot of folks in Putnam County were real happy, to get her back. And some of the work she was doing before in government was pretty cool for her as far as building that knowledge, you know, and definitely coming back to Cookeville and bringing that knowledge with her is beneficial to our county, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. She's had a career in just a short period of time. I mean, she worked for, came in with Governor Bredesen, transferred to, Governor Haslam. So stayed over with the party change, which they usually clean house.
And, right.
So stayed on with that, worked for Randy Boyd, who's now the president of the University of Tennessee, also ran for governor against Bill Lee. But she did economic development, so she's very familiar with helping rural communities, and then went on to work at Vanderbilt, where she did government affairs. So she kind of worked between the government and the hospitals, and she helped set up the Vanderbilt hospital that was Tenova in Lebanon, helped kind of Vanderbilt help take over that. So she's had some great experiences.
Well, it's unusual to go from one party to another and still keep your job. But she's got some pretty good names out there that, you know, grandpa and the whole family, actually, that you know, kind of helped her along the way. And not that she didn't deserve every little bit of it, but nice to have that.
Right. Absolutely.
So let's jump into sports.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit more about you. We've got the family covered pretty good there.
Sounds
so
good.
We're gonna dive into Jake and talk about you a little bit. So, you know, this is a sports show, and we want to tie some things into sports, but it's more about the person that we're talking to. So growing up, you know, where did you actually grow up, and you know, what was your first memory of baseball?
Yeah, so growing up, I grew up in a town called Perry, Ohio. It's about 20 miles east of Cleveland, about 30 miles from Erie, Pennsylvania. And right on Lake Erie. So we were, you know, maybe a mile from Lake Erie. My earliest recollection of baseball was probably the first time I ever hit a home run. So at a Little League field, it was, and I don't know how far the fences were, but I remember hitting one, and there's trees right after the fence, and it just disappeared into the trees, and I was ecstatic. And, you know, That's my first memory.
Got that heart pumping.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. It's pumping right now. I'm excited thinking about it.
That's pretty cool. And, you know, that probably instilled the love of the game at a very young age, the success you probably had. And that was in Little League.
Yep.
So anybody that sticks out from your early days that really helped you along the way as far as developing you as a player, a young player?
Yeah. So I'd have to say my dad, first and foremost. So he coached all of our travel teams, was our rec coach. My grandfather, who, you know, at 60 years old or so, I was going over there to stay the night, and he'd get down in a catcher stance so I could pitch to him and all that. So, you know, I have some great memories there. And then my high school coach, obviously, I think he's the winningest coach in the state of Ohio.
Wow.
And just a fantastic guy, and love him to death.
We'll get into high school. You touched on your dad there. Can you kind of introduce us to your mother and father?
Yeah. So my dad, his name's Joe New. He works at Avery Dennison. So they're a shipping company out of Painesville, Ohio. I don't know if that's where they're headquartered or not, but he's worked there for 35 years now. And then my mom, her name's Deneen New. She was a cosmetologist, so a hair cutter for everyone that doesn't know, but
very popular. I'm
she
sure.
has, she has made sure that I say cosmetologist because she's offended by people that say she's a hair cutter. So, but yeah.
So good job. Brothers, sisters?
No brothers or sisters. I'm an only child.
Wow, an only child. Okay. That explains a lot for me. Now, good introduction there. Your dad, you know, is always somebody that gets to the level. Dad's always important as far as, especially early on, you know, getting you going in a sport that you love. So that's pretty cool to hear. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with Jake New.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters Sports. This is your host again, Sam Brooks. Got Jake New in the hot seat today. Jake, good to have you again in the studio. We're going to pick up right where we left off. So Little League, you know, baseball is something that you play an extensive amount of games, even in Little League and Summer League and all that. You really have to love it, you know, to be involved in it. And, you know, national pastime for, of course, in the U.S. and something that's a very popular. We know that looking at pro baseball and how it is today. So tell me about the love of the game at that age for you.
Yeah. So, you know, ever since I can remember, I loved baseball. You know, playing in the Little League, rec leagues, and then on, you know, the All-Stars afterwards, and, you know, eventually working our way into kid pitch where we had actual travel teams where you'd go play in tournaments and all that. I mean, there's no I know one summer we played 56 games. Ooh. Just in the summer. So from the time school's out till it's back in.
Wow.
And up north, we don't have, so like down here, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, they have school teams. Mm-hmm. In Ohio, there's no school teams until high school.
Wow.
So it's all rec and then baseball. And so basketball and football have school teams, but yeah, Baseball didn't.
Wow. So, I mean, that's not too far away, but the weather between here to there is a lot different. So I'm sure your season started just a little bit later.
So we start in March, which, you know, there were still games canceled by snow and everything like that. And it was almost to the point where they were talking about flipping the football season and the baseball season in the north just because of the weather. But yeah, I played some cold games. That's for sure. I mean, you know, when I was coming, so I'll give you an example. I went to a showcase at Ohio State and they said that they will not take anybody north of Columbus. That was like one of their big, and I don't know if it was just the coach that was there at the time, but basically because of the amount of time that they had to play throughout the year, they were more focused on people in the South because they could play year round.
Man, that says a lot. Even if it was just the coach, that's a pretty big statement for a place like right. Ohio State.
Exactly.
Wow. That's incredible. I never heard that before. So, you get involved at that young age. You're playing definitely for the love of the game, you know, working with your dad, working with your grandpa to get better and just loving life, I'm sure, at that time. Did you play any other sports at that time?
I did. So I, three sport athlete. I played basketball, football, and baseball. I think I had 10 varsity letters in high school.
Wow.
Between those sports. So I was a wide receiver on the football team.
There you go. Athlete.
I was a point guard, shooting guard on the basketball team. And then I was a pitcher and outfielder on the baseball team.
And you don't get to the college level in any sport unless you're a pretty good athlete.
Yeah. I'm a big proponent of athletes playing multiple sports too.
I was just fixing to ask that.
Absolutely.
So give me your views on that.
So in my experience, I know that there's things in basketball that I couldn't have learned in football or baseball or just things like that, right? You learn different movements, different skill sets in all the sports that can help you in whatever sport you intend to focus on in the future.
And I'm a big believer in that. I've had college coaches on the show that really like it when kids play multiple sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of them have said, you know, if they get to where they're getting recruited, maybe their junior, senior year, they think it's okay maybe to focus on one sport then. But even then, the majority of the coaches that I've talked to like it for them to play other sports because of the other movements, the other skills they learn. They're always working. They're using different muscles in different sports, so they tend not to get worn out as easily like a student or a student athlete who might play just baseball and play all year round.
Right.
You know, you get into the injuries, especially if you're a pitcher, you know, and that it kind of helps out with that, those situations. So I've not seen too many college coaches that don't really like the high school athletes playing multiple sports.
Right.
So for you, where did, you know, I met you out on the golf course.
Right.
So where did golf come in for you?
So I actually started golfing after baseball. So after, I'd say, so I played for the Los Angeles Dodgers farm team after my senior year at Tech. And after that's when I picked up golf.
So not until then?
I may have played 10 rounds before that.
Wow.
Yeah. But just the baseball swing transitioned easily into the golf swing for me. Yep.
Yep.
Lefty.
Both. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I didn't know you hadn't taken up golf before that. So
yeah, no.
And as good as you are now, that's pretty good. You've got a pretty good future ahead of you if you continue to get better at that game.
I love golf because of the mental side of it.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that. So, all right. So let's go into high school just a little bit. Tell me about your high school that you played for and maybe some memories from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So Perry High School, we were what would be considered, I guess, a 3A here. So we graduated like 100 students in our senior class, Northeast Ohio. So, you know, there was some really good competition up there. But I played varsity as a freshman. And one of my earliest memories of high school baseball was we were playing St. Joe's. So where Clark Kellogg went to school, David Leidy for basketball at Ohio State. We were in a playoff game. Bases were loaded, and we were up by one, and they were the home team. They brought me in from right field to pitch, and I struck out two batters and got a ground out to win the game. And that's when I just knew that there was something special about baseball, just the way it made me feel, the way everyone reacted when it happened, because you know, coming in as a freshman, you don't know you're not supposed to get out of that jam, right? You just, just throwing. Yeah, right. Exactly.
No fear at all.
So that was one of the earliest memories in high school
baseball.
That
was your ninth grade year.
Yep.
Right
ninth
when grade. You popped in there. What a pretty cool experience for a freshman. Number one, just being out on the field.
Right.
You know, as a freshman at a good ball club, that's saying something right there. So what did that lead into as far as your the rest of your years in high school?
Yeah. So the rest of my years, so I will say after my junior year, I signed my letter of intent to go to St. Bonaventure University up in New York, which was not smart because it's already snowy in Ohio. So why would I go more north to play? But it really allowed me to relax my senior year because I already had that out of the way. The one thing I would say is that I wish I didn't do that because the senior year I was the Northeast Ohio Player of the Year. So I think I hit 560 with 10 home runs and I was 7-1 with like a 1-something ERA on the mound. And so I was like, man, if I didn't sign, I could probably went to a much larger school than St. Bonaventure.
There's a lot to say about signing early, especially if it's somewhere you absolutely know that you want to go. But then there's the downside, especially if you have a great year like that. But, you know, recruiting is tough nowadays. I mean, it's hard to handle and it's a lot to deal with, especially for the family.
Yeah.
And I can certainly understand we're lucky enough to have Will sign a little bit early. And once he signed, it was like all that pressure.
Yeah.
He was off of trying to sign.
Right. You can just focus on playing the sport you love and don't have to worry about anything else. So.
Yeah, which I'm sure that was the great side of it for your family.
Yep.
So we got Jake New in the house today. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. Your host again, Sam Brooks. Jake New here in the studio today talking about a little high school baseball. So you summed it up a little bit there with you know, all the cool things you were able to do your senior year after going ahead and signing with St. Bonaventure up in north of where you lived.
Yep.
So I know there's more to that story. So you finish your high school career. Baseball is at the end of the year.
Yep.
So you're getting ready for graduation and all of that. You're already signed and you know where you're going. All the awards started coming in for your baseball, you know, especially your senior year there. That had to be an exciting time for your family, and then leading on into the summer, you know, how was it going into that summer? I mean, you go into that summer and you've already got what you want. You know where you're going. Now the work is left to get ready for that. So did you play a lot of league ball that year or summer ball?
Yeah, we did play summer ball. And that was really just, you know, a local team playing with buddies. And, you know, we all had everybody at that point had pretty much signed. So we all had, you know, just a relaxing and great summer. And from then went on to St. Bonaventure. So I played a year there. As a freshman, I hit 299. So I was probably one hit shy of hitting 300 as a freshman. I think the coach at the time had said there's only been one freshman ever hit 300. Mm-hmm. But the downside of St. Bonaventure to me was, one, there was the enrollment for the school's 2,400 students. So it's very small. And then two, we were practicing in a kind of like Memorial Gym at Tech where the baseball team had an indoor practice and we got kicked out of our practice so intramurals could play.
Oh.
And that kind of told me like, hey, the sports here aren't really high up on the totem pole. So when that started to happen, I started to look like, hey, you know, I think I'm going to look to start transferring somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, so Coach Braga was here at the time at Tennessee Tech and he's back here now, but he actually grew up about 15 minutes from where I grew up in Ohio and his father was there. He was the mayor of Jefferson, which is the city. So he had seen me play in high school and one of my buddies that I play with in high school was already at Tech. You know, through him, I got in contact with Coach Braga. He brought me down on a visit in the summer.
There was no transfer portal at that time.
There was not. offered me a scholarship without ever seeing me play, which was a blessing. And then I had to go ask my previous coach if he would sign a release form so that I didn't have to sit out a year. Mm-hmm. And thankfully he did that for me. So
and didn't have to.
Right. I mean, and I, yeah, I did not have to sit out a year.
If
right.
He was upset about you leaving.
He
could have done that. No doubt. So that's a, you know, that's a godsend there that he took care of you there and you were able to walk into Tennessee Tech.
Yep.
Now we're getting into some pretty special time.
Yeah.
For Tennessee Tech. And you mentioned Coach Bragg is back and I got to get him in there on this show also. I've not had him in here yet, but just a special guy, you know, did some real special things here at Tennessee Tech, which you were involved in. So you play a year up there and you roll into Tennessee Tech. Let's just pick up there.
Yep. So rolled into Tennessee Tech as a sophomore. My sophomore year, I played quite a bit of first base and then outfield. We had a pretty strong outfield. So me being versatile, I guess, allowed me to play first base and keep some of those guys out there who couldn't move to like an infield position or something like that. I pitched a little bit, but that was pretty short lived. Big difference in high school pitching and college pitching. And I think the first year here, we won like 25 games. Onto the junior season, I think we won 35 games or something. So pretty big turnaround there. And then my senior year, I think we won like 38 or 39. And so, a few of the following years, they hit the 40 mark couple times.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the building that base. And, you know, I think it got to where Coach Braga knows exactly what he wants at each position.
Yep.
And what works for Tennessee Tech and what works for getting those student athletes in here, which, you know, he's definitely proven that over time. He's been here a long time and, of course, we wanted to keep him, but got an offer of a bigger school with some bigger money. And, you know, I think if he was ever going to do something like that, it was a time for him to do that.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Luckily, we've ended up getting him back, and I think the program will continue to be very strong as time goes on. But for you, those were some pretty special years for Tennessee Tech baseball.
Absolutely.
And really solidifying that foundation.
Yeah. No, we had a great core group of guys. A lot of great incoming freshmen. So some of the folks that played after me have already been inducted into the Hall of Fame for baseball. So really great teams that we had and played on, and I'm just happy to be part of it.
Let's talk about your three-year career here at Tennessee Tech as far as your statistics and, you know, what the team ended up doing. Pretty successful years there as far as you know, how wins and losses for you guys. How did you do individually? Your sophomore year was really good.
Yeah, sophomore year, I think I hit like 319 or something like that. Junior year, I hit 356. And then my senior year, it was kind of a down year. I think I started the year like 0 for 24.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, talking about that pressure, right, where in high school I signed and I was already, well, I was a senior hoping to get drafted, so I placed a lot of pressure on myself, and that kind of hurt. But I think I hit like 310 or something my senior year still.
Still pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. But I will say that so Coach Braga's father, Larry, he at the scout day, he cooked all the scouts' steaks, brought in a crowd, right? I think 26 scouts were at our pro day. And during the pro day, we had 17 pitches in batting practice. And out of those 17, I think I hit 9 home runs to some oppo, some dead center, ran a 6'6", 60-yard dash. And so I think that pro day right there is what got me drafted.
Yeah, man, and that's the ultimate pressure, you know.
Right.
Especially in a one-day situation.
Right.
You've got your whole career that they can judge and compare against other guys. But getting that opportunity to play Major League Baseball, I'm sure, is something that you dreamed about your whole career.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say it, like, in college, I wasn't the guy that went out and partied. When everybody would go out and party, I was actually going back to the field, to the cage, to hit balls off the tee, or just, I mean, I was in there 7 days a week. So that was my lifelong goal, to get drafted. And
when you get to that, you know, getting a scholarship and playing college baseball or football or basketball is fun and you got to love it. it's going to be really terrible if you don't love it. But it is a job. I don't think most people understand what goes into being a college athlete and the work, the amount of work and community service and grades and everything that you have to do to stay above level, you know, to be able to be a successful college athlete.
Yeah. So it really is like a second job. I mean, you have, you know, weights in the morning, you have practice in the afternoon between classes, all while having to maintain a certain GPA to be able to play, which I think our team graduated with like a 3-something GPA. So we had a pretty intelligent ball club, but I think I finished my career at Tech with like a 3.2 GPA. So I was pretty happy about that. And, you know, they'd always do random checks where they'd walk by classrooms to make sure. And if you weren't in class, you were running. So, you know, there's always motivation to go to class.
Well, it's important to be at class.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's awesome. And,
yep.
You know, to be an alumni at Tennessee Tech right now and then be able to come back home, especially with the success that they've had and knowing that you had something to do with, you know, helping to build that foundation along the way and the success that Tennessee Tech baseball has got to be special.
Yeah, it is. It's a great feeling to be part of the crew that kind of got it on the up and up. Coach Braga is a fantastic coach, him and his father, and they're even better people. And outside of teaching us the game of baseball, they really taught us how to be men, and I mean, they're very faith-based. They're just fantastic people. So,
yeah, I've not heard too many negative things about Coach Braga and his program is in the way he handles his players. He's there for you, get your back and all of that, which is, it's just an incredible, you know, program to have, and very thankful, you know, in this community to be able to have that. He's done such a great job. So you go into the professional baseball. You get a chance to go over there and play after your pro day. Man, what was that like?
It was awesome. So I left the day before I was supposed to report to camp. Drove down from Tennessee. It was down in Vero Beach, Florida. So they had a complex at the time called Dodger Town, which was basically an old inn that had like rooms basically, and then there's fields off to the side. So we lived on site, really had no reason to leave whatsoever because they fed us twice, baseball, lifting, practice, all that. So it was an awesome time.
So everybody's thrown in there together and you're just competing.
Yeah.
You know, even though they've already signed you and everything, you're still just
assigned roommates. And then, you know, you see people that were drafted, you know, first round all the way to whatever it might be. And, some of the guys I got to play with, one of them's Nathan Eovaldi, who's a starting pitcher for the Boston Red Sox right now. So it's pretty cool that, you know, I got to hang out with him a little bit and talk to him, and a couple other people made it to the pros that I was playing with too. Short lived, but it's still cool to talk about.
And maybe short lived, but you made it.
Right.
And that's some, not very many people will get an opportunity to do that. So congratulations on that. And, we definitely going to have to bring you back and kind of do a part two, especially when we get into baseball season.
Yeah.
We can talk a little bit that more baseball.
Great.
I'm not probably as educated in baseball as you are being a football player, but really respect the sport and what it takes to be able to play it. And just congratulate you on the career that you've had and, you know, the successful member of the community that you and your wife are, and just thankful to have you back in Cookeville.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining the show.
Happy to be back, and we love living here.
Thanks a lot, Jake. Good to have you, man.
All right, thank you.